This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Palisade Radio. This is your host, Colin Cattell. As you can see today, we have David Morgan back. He's the publisher of The Morgan Report, which can be found at themorganreport.com. And also for those interested in podcasts, David's got himself set up on iTunes now. So you can go to iTunes and type in The Morgan Report, and then you'll get David's show each and every week automatically on your tablet or device. David, welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, there's a lot of what I would call negative sentiment stirring about silver, at least in the short term. Everywhere I go, I see people saying for various reasons that silver could be nearing an inflection point, which looks like to the downside, not to the upside. So as you're the silver guru, I want to get your take on it.
Yes, I agree. First of all, I think to do a shout out, as it's commonly said, to, you know, Ted Butler. I mean, Ted, I think, is the only one really that in the silver community brought to everyone's attention, especially early on, and it continues to this day, about how significant the commitment or trader's report really is and how to use it. I actually, for our premium members, which is our, you know, our start membership, I go through it not weekly. I don't want people to focus too much on it. It's been diluted for a couple of reasons, because one is the advent of all the ETFs. But coming back on point and getting right to it, the commitment of traders is at the largest short position it's been in a long time. Last year, for the trading portion of the portfolio I did for the membership, we were long, like several ways you could be long would be futures, options, derivatives, the stocks themselves, or physical silver. It doesn't really matter. I don't tell my people what's best for them. They determine that. And we held that position all the way pretty much to the peak. And the reason I called the top was the commitment of traders at that time at a new high. And the probability is very, very high when you get a extreme short position that the price gets knocked down. And as we're doing this interview, the last time I looked, we're under 18. If we get three closes below 18 basis the spot month or the near futures or spot price, we are going to probably see a continuation of the downside. That's the most likely based on the commitment of traders report. However, there are a couple of caveats. Number one, to refresh everyone's memory, when you are a commercial short, whether it's wheat or soybeans or silver, the idea in the beginning when the commodities exchanges were established, and were established mostly for the grains back when, you know, the farmers grew wheat and they wanted to hedge their crops. So the exchange said, well, you already have a lot of capital expenses. So since you're a producer, you get an advantage. So you're only have to put up like 70% of the margin that you do if you're a speculator. So in other words, the work of a dollar for the hedger gets to be worth $1.30, or they get a dollar's worth of value for 70 cents, any way you want to think of it. They have a lesser margin requirement than the speculator, which has to put up a dollar. And it's all leverage. They're just getting better leverage. That's what I'm saying. The second thing in the futures market for gold and silver is that the banks are the commercials. They're not producers at all. Now, some of them will work for producers. I mean, like a mining, a big mining can RTZ. I'll give part of the book to the bullion bank, and there will be some physical behind it. The point being is that banks don't produce silver or gold, and yet they still have that commercial advantage. And the other part is that the other side of the trade, which is the public, small speculators, and the larger trading funds have a limited amount of capital. So all you have to do is let them get to the point where they don't have any more money or currency to put into the market. And once that's established, you keep shorting them and someone has to take the other part of the trade, and they basically have to sell out because they have to unwind their positions. And this has been repeated over and over again for years. So we're at that point now. However, Colin, what's really interesting is that over the last year or more than a year, but a little bit longer, the trading has changed dramatically in the futures market. And this is basically because the advent of the SG, the Shanghai Gold Exchange. And that is where I have noticed for a long time now that the strength of the longs is almost as good as, or perhaps it is as good as, the strength of the banking system. So this open interest continues to grow bigger and bigger and bigger, and the longs are not scared out as easily as they used to be. And we're at a point where I look at the physical market, because sooner or later it will dictate price. And it has a few times, not only on the exchange, but primarily in the retail market. But we're at a level where the amount of eligible silver, this is, registered silver, this is what the dealers actually have in their possession, is at a very low point. And usually when it reaches this point, there's a price movement up. So we're at an all-time high short position, which is met by longs in the commitment traders report. But simultaneously, we're at a very low, almost trigger point position as far as how much these dealers that are massively long on paper, short or long, depending on what side of the trade, have available to make good on actual deliveries. So it's possible. I'll just say it very succinctly. If I was going to spook the market and start a short squeeze, we're at a point right now it'd be perfect to do so, because the amount of registered silver that you could actually fulfill physical demand is very, very low. And the amount of shorts are very, very high. And if I had a lot of funds available to move into the market and bought long and took delivery at the same time, it could start something that we haven't seen in a long time in the silver market, and that would be a short squeeze. So is that going to happen? No, I have to go with the percentages. The most likely scenario is what everyone else is saying, and I'm a contrarian within a contrarian. I don't like agreeing with everybody, but the probability is extremely clear. It's not questionable. The most likely scenario is lower prices in silver in the near term. And again, my verification would be closing on the spot price under $18 three times in a row.
David, what kind of a drop are you anticipating here if that does play out? Are we talking about a dollar move downward or something more significant?
I usually reserve that for my paid members, but I don't mind telling you, because first of all, I don't know, and no one does. I really don't think it will be that significant. That's another part of this story about how differently silver and gold are trading now. Before, the banks would load one side, the trading funds would run out of money. You knew almost to the exact amount of open interest where it would peak out, and then come down until it washed out, and you would know what the setup was. In other words, you'd know what the open interest would be for the game to start all over again. It was almost a very mechanical thing, almost like a perfect sine wave, and the top of the sine wave, the bottom of the sine wave, and it'd be almost a no-brainer. Those conditions are gone. So now what happens is when the sell-off occurs, that the shorts are not able to cover massive amounts of their short position. Will that be the case this time? I think most likely that it will. Near-term data is much more valuable than long-term data, especially when you're trading on an intermediate-term basis. So I expect, dollar would be, in the 17 range. I mean, for my people, I said 1650. I would be astronomically surprised if they could push silver below 1650. Is it possible? Yeah. Silver can surprise even me, but not the way things are occurring. And knowing what the physical offtakes are, which are weak right now, the government mint, the Silver Liberty program hasn't been as robust. Same with the gold program. Basically, Colin, in a nutshell, the silver and gold community is basically satisfied. These people have bought all they want. They've heard the story. They know it inside out. The market's saturated. The market is, I'm not saying the cell phone market is saturated, but almost. I mean, there's not a lot left at the margin. So we need new buyers. And the institutions have left the market almost altogether as well. So there's reasons that we need some type of catalyst. And that could be, again, somebody that comes into the futures market and knows what they're doing and starts to put the squeeze on the shorts. But I don't think that's likely at this time. I think we're going to get a fall down. And I will adjust my parameters as that happens. But anyone that owns silver under 20, you're in a great position. That's about the price it cost to mine it. And anyone that bought in the, 30, 35 range, you're going to have to wait.
I was reflecting yesterday on silver and the sentiment in the market, and this is just from my personal view, but I just haven't heard very much about silver. There's not very much excitement the last year. I guess it's traded pretty boring, flat range. Gold, of course, has been moving up a good bit and people are talking gold. But that, from a contrarian standpoint, is interesting. Commodities that people don't talk about for a while oftentimes do surprise.
Absolutely. In fact, and I've told the membership this, it reminds me of early 2016. In fact, I just finished an interview at that time, better than a year and 3 months ago, with Jim Poplava. And Jim was like, getting in on the silver side. And I was concerned because I believe there's a theory to the metals like the Dow theory, which means that the silver has to confirm gold or vice versa. And silver hadn't confirmed at that early January point where I did the interview with the Financial Sense. And all of a sudden it did. And once it did, boom, away we went. So we're in a similar setup here. It looked to me like gold would be capped at about the 1250 level. And it was not. That was not achieved. So we've seen gold do well. And will silver all of a sudden go? It's really a tough call here. I mean, I'm not saying anything that the membership hasn't heard me say. It's a very tough call because even though the probability is extremely high that the price is coming down, there's a lot of work that is required and a lot of open positions required for what used to be pretty easy to accomplish. Now the other side, the longs, are much better equipped, much better capitalized, and I say much smarter than it was, let's say, a couple of years ago.
Well, let's kind of finish off here, David, with your long-term resolve for silver. I assume that hasn't changed at all. Maybe timelines have been getting pushed back a little bit, but looking out over the next few years, being a silver investor, a silver equity investor, what are your thoughts there?
Absolutely one of the best investments you can make. I mean, first of all, it's the most honest money out there. I mean, gold is important and I do own it and advocate people do, but silver's the little guy, the average person. It's been the money of the people forever. It's been money more often, used more times than gold by far for transactions in the honest money regime when we had honest money, and that ebb and flow has taken place over centuries. The leverage that you get in good quality equities is phenomenal. I mean, last year we got a move in silver. That was pretty good. We were under 14 briefly, and then we got up to, I forget the 20 range. I forget exactly the top. I'd have to look. But First Majestic was one of our trades. I mean, that stock went from 4 to 24. I mean, basically, I made a joke, but it's true. I said, did you cash out at $50 silver in 2016? Which means people that followed what I did on my trade, which is a position trade that was held for months, is like a move from silver going up 400 or 500%. So it'd be like silver going from 14 up 3 or 4 fold. And that's what you get in some of these stocks that are conservative stocks. I mean, AG is on the NYSE. I mean, it's not like you have a liquidity problem or it's a penny stock. You have trouble, you're not having trouble buying it, but you have trouble selling it or vice versa. So anyway, there is reasons I think to be in both, but it's not for everybody. I get that there's a stack of community that don't want anything to do with any paper in any way, shape, or form. I understand that. But people that understand and actually want to beat the bankers, I think it's a great way to do so.
Well, David, I really appreciate you coming back on the program. I think we should do this more often. Our viewers really enjoy when you come on, and that's shown by just how many views you get every time. So just once again, David is up on iTunes now, The Morgan Report for podcast, and themorganreport.com. David's the publisher there. Always great content, free and premium service. David, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This is The Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.